Nicholas Wyman has written a book, has written several books, but this particular book it kind of addresses the issue of these graduates, these recent college grads who are unemployed or underemployed, yet there are 3.5 million U.S. jobs that remain unfilled. Why? Well, that's the question I put to you. First of all, welcome to Home and Family Finance.
Right to be back.
Nice to have you back here. Nice to hear that. Is it Australian or New Zealand accent?
No, it's the Australian accent. You hear the tones of the Australian through the microphone.
I do. I know you think you sound American, but you don't. It's a lovely sound, by the way. And I sometimes can't differentiate between the Australian accent and the New Zealand accent. Pretty close.
Well, you know, there's a long history of Australia and New Zealand working together and being in military conflicts together. The Anzacs had a 100-year anniversary from the First World War. So Australia and New Zealand, there's free trade and free passage. You can actually have a passport in Australia and go backwards and forwards without a passport between Australia and New Zealand.
And you're not too far apart. I mean, you're very close.
Just across the ditch.
Location.
Just across, like it's a little pond. It's not the big pond, it's the little pond.
Little pond. Well, I'm glad you've crossed whatever pond you crossed, several, to get here and to be back with us again. You were back in November. But what's going on here? And you were just talking about the number of industrial jobs that are going to become available. Why are we not educating our young people for the jobs that are available?
Well, I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there. And one of them is that manufacturing has had its day in America, and that there's not opportunities, and the opportunities that are available are some dirty, dark, old-fashioned factory, and subsequently parents are not saying to their children, or teachers are not saying to young people, consider a job in manufacturing. But one of the stats I mentioned to you just off air there is there's actually 12 million men and women who manufacture things in the US each and every day.
12 million?
12 million people get up, get out of bed and manufacture things, and there's going to be a 2 million job shortfall by the year 2025. So when you hear this skills gap that people talk about, that's because people are leaving our education systems without the skills that employers need.
But why? Why? Why, Nicholas?
Well, there is this labour market mismatch, and I think we have a real issue in our communities that people have this feeling that to be successful in this world, you must have a four-year college degree. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily the case. There's plenty of other opportunities available through apprenticeship or through people reskilling or taking on additional training. There's online training available. But the message that I would like to give listeners is about the right education at the right time. So if you're a college grad, all is not lost. You will have a bit of debt and hopefully you have secured a job. But the stats are stacked against you. More than half of college grads have come out and have not got a job.
Are they going to get a job?
Well, it's pretty competitive out there, and there's a skills mismatch as well going on here because we live in the age of globalization and technological change. Now, a lot of employers out there who are astute have realized they're not competing with the guy down the road or the person in the next state. They're competing with China. They're competing with other parts of the world in Europe because transport and logistics, you know, someone said to me just about an hour ago, they said, Nick, do you know how much it costs to get a bottle of red wine from your homeland, from Australia, to land in a bottle shop in New York? And I said, how much? 9 cents.
9 cents.
Truly. 9 cents. That's how much it costs, you know. So the cost of transport and logistics has dropped. So basically we live in this global economy where people can move things around the world via shipping, via transportation. So really that is changing the shape and nature of jobs. Now, some employers haven't woken up to that, but a lot have. And so it's a different type of skills to compete globally.
But have our schools, have our educational strategies caught up with that? I'm going to ask that question coming up in just a minute. My guest is Nicholas Wyman, author of Job U, How to Find Wealth and Success by Developing the Skills Companies Actually Need. He recently won a 2015 International Book Award. Listen, he's got something to tell you. Listen up. We'll be right back. It's a pleasure to have you here listening to my guest, who I think fundamentally has much to tell us Much to think about, folks, and that is simply this. Nicholas Wyman presents us with the truth, and that is that we have people who are educated, but they're not educated for the right thing. We have jobs that are available, but there's no one to really fill those jobs. So my question, Nicholas, is simply this. Our educational strategies are set and have been for many years, but has the demands and the technology changed so much that they have surpassed what we really need?
The education systems really need to go through a radical change. Back to our previous conversation about this globalization and technological change, this is now an issue where there is this labor market mismatch. So it really starts in high school. This is where the problems are starting, because students are actually not learning the subjects, and the curriculum is not only not relevant to the students, it's actually not relevant to the job market. Now, people can argue and say, well, the purpose of education is to produce well-rounded citizens. You've got to pay for a roof over your head. You might have costs. You need a car. You know, you've actually got to live.
Yeah.
And I think that you need to get the balance right. But fundamentally, we really need to look at our high school systems. And there are some new high schools popping up around the country which are shaking up this idea. I describe them as a radical departure from traditional education, and it's the only way forward.
You know, I hear people say, Nicholas, and you've heard it too, well, we'll just wait till things get back to normal, meaning the way it used to be. But there's no getting back to the way it used to be. It is the way it is and the way it is going to be. It costs 9 cents to get a bottle of wine from Australia to the neighborhood store. That means we're in a global economy. We live in a global world where everybody's competing not just against the guys down the street, but against the guys on the other side of the world. I think it's phenomenal that we are somehow resistant to understanding how we have to make those changes. What are the fundamentals that we need to do?
Well, I think for employers out there to simply, you know, bury your head in the sand and hope it's going to go away, I think of the old proof of the pudding. I mean, the economic downturn that led to the recession, people thought that it'd be business as usual. Things will blow over. Well, it wasn't business as usual. So employers who invested in skills, and this is a fact, the employers who before the downturn took a long-range view to skills development, they were able to bounce back. But the people who let workers go and thought, oh, we'll employ people, there'll be people with the skills we need, they're still struggling years later. They haven't been able to replace those skills. So my advice to employers is, evolve, adapt, or you will perish. It's pretty cruel out there. You know, it's tough out there to run a business, as you know. And so it really is, getting connected and being proactive. And so for employers, they really need to connect with their community colleges, high schools, get out there and talk to people.
Yeah, we also always think of this as the poor employee, a potential employee who can't find a job. But an employer who doesn't find people can't run his company. He or she's not going to last very long. I mean, this is kind of a two-way street. Everybody benefits if we start making this work together. Even to the point, and I'm not sure if this is anathema, but to the point where if the kid or is not, and I call him kid, the young graduate is not, you know that they're motivated, you know they got a degree, you know they're smart. Maybe you just have to pull them in the door and say, now you got to learn the skills you didn't learn in school.
Well, I think it's a reality. And I personally, when I employ people, I actually employ on attitude. I employ the person who wants to work, the person who doesn't come and tells me what I don't know and tells me all the problems with my business. You know, you employ people who are smart, but you employ people who come in with a can-do attitude. And I think that there's a lot of employers out there who are prepared to follow that rule, and then they'll train you for the results they need. So I think it's about really preparing yourself, and maybe in the segment a bit later we can talk about some job tips or actually how to get one of those jobs.
Sure. Well, what about unemployment? What industries have the highest level of unemployment?
Well, as mentioned before, manufacturing is struggling to recruit people because of the biases and stigmas. But there's all sorts of job opportunities available in medical, and we've got an aging population. People need to be looked after. But it's a lot of the jobs that people would say, well, that sounds like dirty work or poorly paid work. A lot of the trades jobs, electricians, in Virginia. I was in Virginia last month, and the number one skill shortage job in Virginia at the moment is an electrician.
How is that possible?
So it's incredible. And when you do get an electrician, I don't know the last time you had an electrician come to your office or come to your home. I mean, when they leave, it's not a bad industry to be in. You're sitting there looking at the looking at the invoice thinking, you know, maybe I followed the wrong career path.
You know, we recently at the house had the trash compactor in the sink. We didn't have one, so we called the plumbers. And the plumbers came in, and they put the unit in there. Beautiful unit. So we came home, and I'm looking around to try to find how to turn a unit on. Well, we're plumbers. We're not electricians. Mm-hmm. So they put a unit in our house, in our sink, that had no electricity. They said, you got to call the electrician. So I called the electrician, and the electricians come, and they put a beautiful unit in there. And when they finished, it cost more than the installation and the unit itself. So these are not poor-paying jobs. And I have no alternative. You cannot put it in there. So you're right. How can we not have enough electricians in America today? I don't understand what's going on and how we correct this. I mean, I know what's going on. How do we correct this?
Well, I think if people want to understand what job should I get into or what career path I should follow, there is data out there, and the Department of Labor, the US Department of Labor, has a site. You can go onto the DOL site and you look up Occupational Handbook. Now, in this Occupational Handbook, you can look at every conceivable career option, and it tells you if that career is in decline, if it's plateauing, or if it's actually going through growth. So it tells you demand. It actually tells you the pay. It tells you the remuneration levels to expect, and it's a real surprise. Dental hygienists, nursing, elevator technicians. These jobs are $70,000 a year plus.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad industry to get into, no college debt, and these are jobs that are in demand.
And they are in demand, and I guess it's just – it sounds to me that, like, a lot of this is mindset on the part of not only the potential employee but the employer. You know, I want somebody to – I want somebody in my company that's graduated with a degree in this, or – I want to go to work at a place that wants me to do what I've learned to do, as opposed to suggesting, hey, wait a minute, let's get these two sides together. Okay, you want to work, and I've got a job, and I know that you have the right mindset. That's what you're saying. Let's get those folks together. My guest is Nicholas Wyman. He is the author of the book Job U, How to Find the Wealth and Success by Developing the Skills Companies Actually Need. We'll be right back with more. In order to save, you've got to make some money. In order to make some money, you've got to have a job. In order to have a job, you've got to have some skills. In order to have some skills, you've got to go to school, or you should go to school. But it doesn't have to be the college. It can be the school of OJT, on-the-job training. And I think that may be one of the ways, and my guest is Nicholas Wyman, whose book we'll tell you more about in a minute, that people can compensate for this mismatch, if you will. I remember when OJT was thought to be a very good way to learn, Nicholas, that on the OJT, on the job training, okay, you got the will to work, you got the skill to work, you got the mentality to work, the attitude, and now you need the skills and you can learn those. Is that still applicable today?
Well, absolutely. There's plenty of ways to get the skills that employers need. And I think it's really up to an individual's learning style. And for me, I like to learn by doing. So you may recall from our last conversation, I actually left high school, took on an apprenticeship as a chef. Now, I'm still pretty handy around the kitchen and like to cook. But the skills that I learnt as a chef running a kitchen, I still use today in my everyday job. Organisational skills, relating to people. Financial skills. You know, I ran my own restaurant and had to, you know, look over the books and understand a balance sheet. These are skills that you take forward. So just because you do a culinary or a culinary arts apprenticeship does not mean that you can't one day become the chief executive of a large firm, but it's about how you take on these skills and how you use them throughout your life's journey.
I appreciate that because that's kind of where I wanted you to be here. Let's talk to two people directly. They're listening and they're saying, okay, one of them has a college degree, but no job. The other doesn't have a college degree, high school education, et cetera. But they both want to be employed, and they're both saying, what do I do? You know, what do I do now? Okay, I hear you. I really want a job. Do I go to the company? Do I say to the guy, you know, either one of them, hey, I don't have skills here, but I have a will. I mean, how do I start this? I'm tired of being on the sofa with my degree, or I'm tired of working at some job that doesn't pay me, and I want to do better. What do you say to them?
Two words today: reframe. Reframe. They need to let everything go in the past. That the college degree and the certificate or anything that's happened in the past, or whether they're an ex-offender or whether they're coming out of the services, they need to let that go and not let that become the centre of the conversation. What they need to do is they need to take some steps. And the first step to take is to network. You cannot do this from sitting at home behind a computer, on your iDevice, on your tablet, on some website. You actually need to get out there and you need to talk to relatives, friends. If you've recently left school a couple of years back, go back to your high school, reconnect with the school community, talk to teachers, because there's actually a lot of jobs out there that aren't advertised. And people are surprised by that. And they'd say, well, if an employer's got a job, they're going to... Sometimes employers might be considering an opening, but they're not quite sure yet. And they use the opportunity. A young person comes in that they might know through the community, they know has the right attitude, and they say, you know what, I want to give that person a go.
I'm so happy that you said that. What you're saying is you've got to reconnect. You've got to talk to people. You're not going to get a job because you own a $600 iPhone. That does not have a job in it. You might be lucky. You might make contact. But you've got to reach out to – iPhones don't hire people. Forgive me. I just – you know, what hires people are people. And what you're saying is you've got to get to people. You've got to let folks know who you are and where you are.
Well, absolutely. And you need to get out there, and you need to always be on topic. The amount of people who send their resume or CV to an employer with one click – is unbelievable. I get hundreds and hundreds of people applying for jobs a week that don't even exist in my organisation. And when I look at their resume, they haven't made any effort. They just use this one size fits all. I mean, if there's a position description out there, address the criteria. If it says you need to provide a covering letter, provide a covering letter. Do you know how many people get ruled out because it says applicants must address the criteria, provide a covering letter, and guess what?
Nicholas Wyman, my guest, when we come back, we'll continue this very conversation. I'm trying to get you employed here. I'm trying to get you an employee. This is Home and Family Finance. Stay with us. Here I have a guest, Nicholas Wyman, author of Job U, How to Find Wealth and Success by developing the skills companies actually need, suggesting to you that your 4 years of school didn't prepare you for what's out there. So what do you do about that? Well, his book can be... your guide, and it's available, I think, Nicholas, at most popular bookstores.
Yeah, it's actually available now these days with discount offers available. It's under $10, so it's an affordable thing. You can pick it up on Amazon or at your local bookstore, and you can even get an e-version and read it on your e-reader.
So. You just won a recent award, didn't you?
Yeah, I was pretty chuffed about that. You know, it's in the business careers category. So really the words that you mentioned before is what I really wanted to do when I set about writing this book. I wanted a practical roadmap for folks to be able to say, there's a lot of advice out there, but, you know, what is right for me and how can I navigate my way through? So there's a lot of resources in there, websites, tells you where to go and how to do it.
I asked you in the last segment about the employee who wants to work, and what would you say to them? Suppose I'm an employer. I'm a new business. I've been open. I'm struggling to make it work. But I am an employer, and I'm looking for good people. And I really want to know, how can I take advantage of what you're suggesting that I do? What does the business person do?
Well, I think employers really need to open up their workplaces to high schools. This is a long-range plan. But if you've got a manufacturing facility, there's National Manufacturing Day is on the 2nd of October. So if you're in that particular industry, you want to be able to get parents, students to come through your facility, touch, see what it's all about, and that will get rid of some of the misconceptions. But in the shorter range, if you're an employer and you're looking to take someone on board, I really think that, you know, it is an employer's market at the moment. There's generally speaking, you know, employers will get a lot of people applying for jobs, and they actually have trouble sifting through these candidates. And one of the first things that an employer friend of mine does, every time they get a CV or an application, they go to social media. Social media can be your best friend or it can be your worst enemy. So I'd suggest to job seekers, if they've got some wacky, crazy, if they've got some crazy Twitter handle or an email address. I mean, I've seen it all. You know, yeah. Too polite for radio. I've seen people, you know, use cusses in email address. That immediately rules that person out of that job. Or if they've got crazy photos of, having good times, possibly having too much of a good time on Facebook or whatever it may be. So I think you have to embrace social media. It's a fantastic medium, but be careful about what you put on there.
Boy, guys, I hope you hear that very loudly. I mean, yeah, it was fun when you were 18, but it's not going to help you at 21 or 22 looking for a job, because they're not going to look at that as you being a serious person. If you know it's offensive, if you know it's ridiculous, if it's silly, if it doesn't enhance who you are, get rid of it. You know, because as Nicholas says, the first place an employer is going to go is to see. They're going to Google you, folks. It's just so basic, and yet some kids still miss it. They still think it's a ha-ha, and it's not. It's an oh my.
Absolutely, and I think you need to keep it real too. Some people feel that on their CV or resume, they feel they have to, take gilding the lily to the extreme. You know, I had this young guy apply for a job a couple of years back that I had with a golf course, actually. And on there, he said that one of the things that he used to do is he used to mow the synthetic wicket. And he was talking about they had some cricket nets at the end of the ground.
Right. He'd mow them down.
He used to mow the plastic grass. And I was like, well, you know, or, you know, another guy who got confused between assets and liabilities, and he wrote to me in his covering letter and said, Nick, I would be a great liability for your company. You should give me a job. So I think you just got to keep it real and get out there and practice. Practice makes perfect.
Folks, you've heard it from the expert. His book is called Job You, How to Find Wealth and Success by Developing the Skills Companies Actually Need. You can find it at any reputable bookstore. I suggest that you use it as your guide if, in fact, you're looking for employment. Nicholas, thanks so much for coming in again. This is a second time within the year, and we really appreciate having you. Come back again, would you?
Great talking to you and the listeners. Thank you so
much.
All
right. Folks, this is Home and Family Finance. You're with me, aren't you? Come back next week. I'll be right here, same place. Peter, thank you for filling in. We'll see you all next week right here on Radio America. And you can go to www.radioamerica.org and listen to any of our shows. And you can run to the podcast. So come back next week. We'll be looking for you. And thank you so very much. Have a good day.